Hello.
Hey,
Hi.
can you hear me? All right.
Yes.
Perfect.
So I've never used this app before, and I've like, because the last time I tried to record somebody like with a phone call, I had to do this like convoluted thing on my computer where I like had to make a screen recording and like export it and all this like weird, ridiculous shit. And I was like, it's the year of our Lord 2019, and we should be more
Listen,
advanced than this.
It's funny.
So let's get into it.
Hey.
Welcome to Fruits of the Spirit, a bi-weekly show featuring the faith stories of queer and trans people of color. I am your host, Enrique Cintron, and this week I have my lovely friend Jordan Harris on with us today. Do you prefer to be referred to as a pastor or the Reverend or His Royal Highness? Like, what do you
Mother
prefer?
Superior is typically the title I go with. But actually, Reverend was just I was just commissioned about 2 weeks ago, so
Yes.
very new title. But everyone just calls
Congratulations.
me Jordan, ultimately, unless they're being sarcastic.
Congratulations on your
Thank you.
commissioning. How do
Thank
you
you, thank you,
feel?
thank you. That's such a great question. People have been asking me that. I didn't feel like uniquely inspired, I'd say. I felt like about time, you know.
Yes.
It was an 8-year process just to get to this point. And there's it's kind of like a residency in the Methodist Church, like when you're like a doctor's residency. And so I have about 3 more years of like being observed and going to little groups, and then we'll officially get ordained after that. So it feels good. I feel like I've accomplished a good step, but I can also see that there's still so much further to go.
I mean, I like when I think about how all of these different mainline denominations structure their ordination processes, like it's just, I don't know, it's kind of wild to me how long it takes sometimes.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think the Methodist is probably longer than the Episcopalian process, because I think ours from like start to finish takes like probably 4 or 5 years. I could be wrong, but yeah, it's like,
I mean, and you almost have to be like independently wealthy and, you
yes.
know, the child of one of the great Methodist preachers in order to get through this, you know, like process without being bullied and just like it's been hard. You know, but it's I'm grateful to be on this side of the process now so that I can help pull others on board,
Yes.
even as our denominational ship is sinking.
We will get to that. So why don't you tell the folks at home a little bit about your trajectory from here to, because you're originally from Pennsylvania, right? We're from the same state, yes?
Yes. I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Yes, represent the 717. But then moved to Philadelphia for college. Worked in Philly for a couple of years before coming to Boston for seminary. And I've been in Boston maybe like 6 years now, which is crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Boston is,
We heard on the last episode, yes. Yep, I made a note. Yeah, dissed my city, but that's okay.
I did. Listen, we have different experiences of the same city, and that is okay.
And that is okay. Yeah. I will say, Pennsylvania is my home. Philly's my home, but
Yes, thank
Boston's
you.
my mission field. Does that make sense? Does
Yes,
that
it
work?
does.
Yeah. It's funny.
How very Anglican of you to say mission
Oh,
field.
thank you. I'm, you know, trying the best.
What was growing up in Lancaster like for you?
Yeah. So I always kind of feel a little bad. And right, this is me trying to get over shame. But my family, you know, has just been so wonderfully supportive. I sort of came out of the womb in a pride parade, you know. Like from day one, everyone knew that boy is flamboyant and, you know, super gay
Yes.
and was in love with, you know, the animated Aladdin.
Oh my God.
Saw him, knew it. Aladdin and okay, I'm just gonna say it. The
Please.
fox from Robin Hood,
Oh
the
my God.
animated fox, always running around, no pants on, like stealing from the rich, giving to the poor. Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
Fell
We
in love
love a bad
instantly.
boy.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like super queer as a kid. Like fun and just like, you know, loved to hang out with my older sister and my family was just here for it. You know, my mom was just super loving and like my greatest warrior.
That's
And
amazing.
yeah, it actually was difficult for me. Like I never had to come out, but I had to almost come out to them as like, I'm gonna go to seminary and become a pastor. And my parents didn't understand that for a while, and
Really?
yeah, we're a little weirded out and frustrated by that choice. You know, like I was the first one in our family to have the chance to go to college. And everyone's like, ooh, doctor, lawyer. And I was like, biblical studies, you know. And so that was a struggle, you know, to be able to come to terms. And I think ultimately they cared for my well-being, you know, and
Yeah.
didn't know why I wanted to sort of like take my light into this sometimes archaic institution, and you know, a source of a lot of homophobia, especially in a place like Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah, but eventually they came around, and now only mildly bully me about being a pastor. So,
I guess
yeah.
that's to be expected. I feel like sometimes even in families that are like pretty supportive, like going into a religious field is not something that is I guess it doesn't have as much of the same acclaim, I guess, that it used to. Because I mean, when I told my parents that I was discerning becoming a priest, they were kind of like, "Oh, nice. How are you going to pay for things?"
Yep, that was the first question. It was like, and you're gonna support yourself by, yeah. And so I will say, you know, Lancaster was great, but my real story, you know, that sort of led me to this point, sort of took place after we had moved out of Lancaster. I think I was about 10 or 11 years old, and don't really know why, but you know, we ended up homeless. Me, my mother, and a couple of my siblings and I were living in our car for a little while, and you know, just family drama was happening. My mother was in an abusive relationship, and we ended up like staying at a campground a whole lot in Maryland, of all places, and we would like go crabbing for food. And you know, spend the day pretending we were camping most of the time, so that way, you know, me and my siblings could stay with my mom. And it was actually at this campground that I want to say it was an Assemblies of God church was holding like a vacation Bible school, a VBS, and they were gathering kids for this Bible school, like this Bible school, and I didn't really know what the Bible was. Like, I didn't really have any concept of Christianity or even religion. But they also offered like free food and games. And I was like, ooh, I know what that is. So me and my siblings, we went, and that was actually where I first met Jesus, so to speak. And just sort of, you know, someone first taught, began to teach me right about God. And they were very, very Pentecostal, and so like about the power of the Holy Spirit as well. And that was just so enlivening and like invigorating to my young imaginative self. I think that was around the same time that the Harry Potter books were coming out. So like, here you have like, you know, Harry Potter book 1 and 2, and you know, this woman telling me that God's gonna give me the Holy Spirit so I can perform miracles. And I'm like, I'm a wizard, you know. I was so ready for it.
Yes.
So funny. And right, and that's where my faith began. And I remember, you know, they gave us those teen Bibles, and I would read mine, but like not really know what was going on, but search for like the stories of who were they, Elijah and Elijah, those crazy prophets, like in First and Second Kings, because those guys were like these, you know, wilderness men who were out there like helping widows and you know, performing strange miracles with their prophet powers, like calling a bear down to attack bullies and stuff like that. And I fell in love, you know, and I swear, like, that was just like my own personal private relationship with God. And I, you know, just melted and molded into this like highly imaginative, sort of charismatic, yet also like influenced by Alice in Wonderland and Harry Potter, like aesthetic, you know. I always joke about this with my family now, but I would like hit my brother and then like pray over it and like say like, did it heal, like does it feel better? And he'd say no, you know, like, all right, we gotta do it again, you know, like we need more faith, you know. Or like the pool at the campground, I was that weird kid who would like stand on the edge, and I'd like pray and try so hard to believe that like I'm gonna be able to walk on water like Jesus, you know. And so like that was the game. And so it was, yeah, always I probably looked insane, but but yeah, that was just sort of the start of my relationship with God.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I feel better knowing that I was not the only kid who tried to walk on water as a child.
Listen, right.
I tried so hard.
For hours. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And like Matilda, you know, and you like, you'd stare at something and try and move it with your mind. Or, yeah, right.
Try to turn the lights off. I remember what also like when the Harry Potter books came out, I remember once I literally, during my nighttime prayers, I was just like, God, you know, I don't ask for much.
Yeah.
But I would really.
But I gotta go to Hogwarts. Yeah. <Name it. laughs>
I was like, Lord, you know, like, if you could just give me one thing, I just really want to be a wizard. Like, yeah. It's just like one little thing. It's that deep. Like, right. Please.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you can do it. Yeah.
And
that's so funny.
Needless to say, I was very disappointed when I woke up the next morning and I was not a wizard.
Absolutely. Yeah. But let me tell you, Queen, you are magical in every sense of the word.
Thanks.
Listen, that prayer came true.
Oh, you're gonna make me emotional over the phone.
Yeah.
So tell me about when you went to seminary and you went to seminary in Boston, yes?
Yep, Boston University School of Theology.
I don't know. That isn't a judgment on university at all.
Just Boston in general.
Just, I mean, anytime I hear that name,
it just comes for you. But yeah, seminary was great. I will say, like, even before seminary, I went to Eastern University outside of Philadelphia, which I will say I had the time of my life.
Really?
I had the time of my life in that I love conflict. And so that was just a wonderful place to
You live
create.
for drama, is what you're
Oh,
saying.
I do. I live for the drama. Yeah, and I was like one of the first openly gay student chaplains, and like, right, like all the boys on my hall like knew that I was gay, and I was just here for it, you know. And like there were, I remember these kids, and I hope they're listening, that they had these shirts on. Like they would always wear these shirts and like sit near us at lunch or dinner, and the shirts had on like a Republican elephant that said
Oh,
raised right.
ew.
Yes, like
Ew.
raised right. Oh my gosh. But I loved it. And I was just like so here for like the drama between them. And yeah, and like even, you know, near the end of my time at Eastern, like so many other people were coming out, and there's an LGBTQIA group that was beginning to like emerge and fight for viability, and it was a fun time. It was a fun time to be there. Yes, we had our own little Stonewall moment.
Yes. How beautiful that we're recording this like a day after the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, you know?
Absolutely. How horrible is it that we're not in New York?
I know. I know. I feel some kind of way about it. It's mostly 'cause I'm broke and I could not afford to go to New York and
Absolutely, name it. And like, I'm terrified of like giant crowds, and right, and I'm like almost 30, and so like the clubs I go to bed at 9:30
We're getting to that age.
now.
It's like, oh, you're gonna stay out past 12. That's a
If an
lot.
event starts at 10, I cannot make it. I'm so sorry. That's when things end.
It's like, wow, I don't have anything to do. I just really don't want to do that.
Exactly. You know, and I've been finding a lot of power in that lately. My fiance Nate loves camping. And I'm an indoor gay now. And so like, you know, like he can definitely go camping and live his best life, but he's like, yeah, let's go. And I'm like, no, I don't need to do that anymore. You know, like no, thank you. Yeah. So
Release
funny.
this.
I release this, absolutely. Yep. I'm just living in my truth, which is sitting on the couch and rewatching 30 Rock tonight. So funny.
Oh my gosh. How was your camping trip with him a few, like when y'all went a couple months back, if you don't mind me asking?
I survived. Yeah. We all make sacrifices in relationships. No, not too bad. Right, like ultimately I do love, you know, like God and nature, and I'm definitely an urban gal, but know that it's important to disconnect, and forcing me into a place without Wi-Fi. And all
Oof.
I have are my books and my Nintendo
Oof.
Switch. But that's, you know, to the side, is
Ben.
good, right? Yeah. So we're just trying to live into that a little bit, gently, softly, knowing that God also lives in the city.
This
Amen.
is true. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Which, on a side note, I didn't know you had a switch, so now we have to like add each other
Absolutely. No,
next to
oh no,
Mario
no one
Kart.
knows that. It's not on brand for me. Oh man. Yeah. If you want to challenge me in Smash Brothers, you will be sorely disappointed, because I'm blessed and anointed, just so you know. Yeah.
I respect that, and I also say that I am also blessed, anointed, and highly favored.
Highly favored. Okay. We'll have to see.
Also in Mario Kart, so.
Mario Kart. Yes.
I mean, honestly, though, I talk a big game about beating people's asses in Mario Kart, and then the time to prove myself comes, and I get nervous. I get this like performance anxiety, and then
Yeah.
Things don't go the way that I prayed for or expected.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's okay.
That's really that funny.
That is okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're also just living in your truth. But yeah, college was good, and I think like my first taste of like, ooh, homophobia and racism exists in Christianity. And I can do something about it, you know.
Yes.
And I think part of it all really was I didn't get to know God in the church. My relationship with God started, you know, while I was this homeless weird kid trying to walk on water, you know. And
yes.
You know, God met me in like this time of like deep trauma and fear and pain, and like made a way you know, for me to survive and to I would pray, like I pray now, you know, like I'm a reverend, but right. As a kid, like I would pray for hours on end, like talking out loud until I fell asleep, you know, about like everything and anything, like just how kids, like, you know, just never stop talking, like right. That was my prayer life with God, you know. And it's probably like embarrassing if you read the transcripts back, like if God like showed me the receipts, but but it was the core of, you know, like there was someone out there, you know, like who I didn't fully understand, who kind of became a person, you know, that also gives people magic powers, like that is listening to me and knows me and is like gonna make a way for us to like get out of this really bad situation. There's someone out there who knows. And right, no weapon formed against me at Eastern University or, you know, white supremacy or homophobia or any of that, the colonial like sort of structures that exist within Christianity can never touch that, you know.
Say that.
It's just never gonna, never gonna pull me away from who I know God to be.
That is such a word. Wow.
Ooh, thank you.
Ooh. I'm fanning myself a little bit. It's also because it's like it's 90 degrees out, so like,
oh, yeah,
to be expected. Yeah, I just like I'm thinking about how you were talking about, you know, your prayer life with God and just having this like hours long conversation,
yeah,
and how, you know, I think being in an official church structure oftentimes really stifles that, you know, like we're like, as we get older, we get socialized to, you know, kind of like condense prayer into these like 15 minute blocks or hour long blocks on Sunday. You know, and it's like, I think like as we get older, we kind of lose that imaginative life that we have as children.
Absolutely.
And I don't really know how to like kind of fix that.
Yeah. Is this time for me to rep my church? Can I gonna put a little plug in for Connection?
Absolutely.
Because you actually came and preached.
I
word
did.
Queen. Yes, around God's time. And so Connection, right, is this, you know, emerging faith community that I have the wonderful opportunity to pastor. And I don't know what it felt like for you, but we're striving to keep that worship space like highly imaginative, very open, very free. I don't know if it was like panicking that like the core of the service, right? Like I think you might have preached for like 10 to 15 minutes, but like the other like, you know, 10 to 15 minute block of our worship was the connection question. And folks were sitting in small groups and in pairs, exploring the question that you had brought, you know, that was guiding our worship around experiencing God's time, and people get to talk and listen and, you know, share with one another and like hear from God in the midst of worship, in a way that I think is not really, doesn't really fit into like, you know, the institutional church or
absolutely
traditional structures, you know. I think just like continuing to like craft and cultivate and like name sacred space and worship as like, you know, vulnerable, intentional, joyful, you know, like place you can cry, a place that you can celebrate and laugh, and like protecting that is is really the core of like my pastoral ministry, which sounds more official. What I really mean to say is I'm striving my best to be selfish because that's the kind of church I feel like I need. You know,
yeah,
I need a place like that that we can do a little public therapy and you know, and laugh and celebrate and be weird and crazy in the presence of God.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how Connection came to be and how you got there?
Yeah, so Connection, we are about 6 years old. Started in 2013, which is why I think it was called Connection with an X. That was a weird year for Christianity. In that, you know, all these churches like The Vineyard and, you know, The Harvest came out. And so, yeah, Connection was sort of part of that era, which is fine, and we're working on branding. but was born out of a Methodist church that existed for about 150 years here in Somerville, that closed down. The congregation sort of dwindled, and found all their resources and their money were going into maintaining a building. And it's a very beautiful building. I live nearby it because the parsonage is close by, and every now and then I like to sneak inside and still see it. And, you know, like, yeah, I get a little hot and like, ooh, if only I was here. But the congregation just felt like they're surviving to maintain, you know, this huge space that isn't really serving anyone at this point. So they made the really hard, very intentional decision to close down, and not only to close down, but to sell their building to a congregation across the street, which is Baptist Church, which was meeting in this like small, like wooden, you know, like pop-up church structure. And they were having 4 and 5 services a Sunday because they couldn't fit enough people in that space, you know, to worship just once. And so like they had so many services and it was just so great. And so the essentially the, you know, the congregation that, you know, that eventually became Connection, sold their space to that emerging church, and they're always outside, they're always worshiping. It's such a wonderful like vibrant congregation now that they have, you know, the space to be in. I love that, you know. I think it's really, really important. And so what we did then was bought a community center on the other side of Somerville, you know, over in East Somerville, where there aren't enough street lights, if you know what I mean. it was like, you know, probably the only part of Somerville that's not gentrified. So has this, you know, awkward reputation. I'm very grateful that we are in East Somerville versus, you know, a more expensive part of Somerville, to say the least. But they renovated it to just be this open, inclusive space. It doesn't look like a church, sound like a church, which is good and bad, you know. Sometimes I think people feel a little tricked. And sometimes people come because they think we're the doctor's office, you know, or something else. Like, and so we're working on all of that. But the thing about Connection is, you know, I'm the most expensive thing there, having a pastor, like a full-time person. And then all of the rest of our resources are able to go back into the community. And I think that is how we, you know, need to be living into the church today, at least, you know, in Somerville, at least in the Methodist church.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, part of the tension that a lot of like American Christianity faces is this sense of like, we're losing our buildings, and like, we have all these histories attached to these different buildings. And there's this tension between wanting to save the history, but also live into the future. And it's like, I think you have to make really difficult decisions. And there's also, there's ways to honor history without necessarily pouring your all of your money and time into saving a building, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and is that really honoring history? You're just trying to force it into the present. And it's never going to happen, sis. You know, like, we're never going to return to the 1950s, despite the current presidential moment we're having. But really, yeah, like, it's, you know, we'll never get back to that point in which we needed, a building that could fit 400 people and seven Sunday schools.
So I have a question about, so when you were talking about the worship service earlier and the connection question,
yes,
like, because I really love that part of the service when I was there. Admittedly, I mean,
were you panicked at first?
I really was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think because, like, I'm the type of person that, like, I enjoy facilitating things, but coming up with, like, a question to ask a group is sometimes, like, pulling teeth for me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because it's, like, I want to be able to ask something that's going to really generate conversation, but also, like, something that's accessible for people at the same time,
absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What was, like, I mean, so did you start out connection with having that part of the service, or was that something that came later?
It was actually something that they had done before. The first Sunday of every month, we have brunch church. And so, like, you eat brunch during the service. And the way in which, you know, you sort of worship is, like, was through connection questions. And yeah, my first Sunday was a brunch church. I was like, ooh, I love this. Let's try a connection question next week too. And so it just really became part of our weekly worship. And it's becoming, like, a longer and longer part of our weekly worship, which I'm kind of here for. Like, I love to preach, don't get me wrong, but the opportunity to, like, dig into and, like, you know, touch essentially one another's lives and stories and experiences is so sacred and so wonderful. And I'll say, like, I think 90% of the people who come are always like, you know, this is going to be weird. Like, when I start prompting them about what the connection question is, and I tell a joke about being your most extroverted self or something like that. And I've not had anyone, at least in the last year that I've been there, come to me and completely say, like, they hated it. I've had folks who said, like, this is super vulnerable. This is super tough. I've never had the opportunity to, you know, like, to practice my courage and share this about myself. And, like, there's definitely been times where, right, like, people's life experiences are different and clash and, but it's never been bad. It's always been either just really good and really life-giving, or, like, really challenging and tough in a way that is, you know, helpful for folks to begin taking steps in new directions. I'll say probably my best, like, my favorite example of a moment in a connection question. And I don't even remember the question, but this is crazy, but there was a woman who stopped coming after my first Sunday, her and her son. And I, that happens, I guess. And I was kind of sad, but didn't want to dwell on it. And months later, she had come back and was very excited. And we were in the midst of worship, and I opened up for the connection question, and she ended up being in a small group that included Nate, my fiance. And she started crying and naming and, like, telling folks, like, she had been trapped in an abusive marriage for the last couple of years. And that when her husband found out that the new pastor was gay, wouldn't let her come back to Connection. And it sort of escalated that, you know, she wasn't even like able to leave the house. Right. And like poor Nate is just like, Jordan, you know, like trying to get my attention, like from the other side of the room. But like from that moment, we were able to get her help. Like she didn't have to go home that day, you know. We were able to get her to safety. And I hope and pray that, you know, if there wasn't something like the connection question, she would have shared that with me after church or something like that. But I know, you know, that she was given that safe and sacred space to like ask for help, like tell her truth, like, and that was all just worship.
Wow. Yeah, I mean the spirit really moves in really like unexpected and powerful moments.
Like, absolutely.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It is. It was panicking in the moment, but beautiful in hindsight. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're Methodist.
Yes.
How has everything that's been going on with the United Methodist Church been impacting Connection and your ministry and going forward?
Yeah, so our official stance at Connection and my personal official stance is we are hashtag over it. That was the sermon I preached after the last sort of big vote went down. And that ultimately, right, we are not going to live into this system of white supremacy and homophobia. Like, sure, we'll make space to talk about, you know, your experiences and help you to heal and grow from you know, those evils in the world, because that's the work of the church. But we are not going to participate. We're not going to get wrapped up in any of that, because ultimately that's just, it's a cycle that's just going to continue to go and go and go until it wears itself out.
Say that.
We're liberated, you know, like,
amen.
Right. Connection is, you know, like there's not a cross in flame anywhere. Like, you know, we're kind of far from the institutional church anyway. So by the time they come for the gays, it will be months before they realize I'm there. Right. Yeah. But really, you know, like ultimately we are pressing forward, you know, to share God's love in a radically inclusive way. Despite what other people want to do, we're hashtag for it. We don't give to it, you know, we don't give life to it, we don't really always give money to it, we just find, you know, like we are forward in the ways in which we know God is leading us, and I know that feels a little isolationist, but ultimately I feel like, you know, liberation is contagious, right? Into your truest self and your true identity and who God has created you to be, both as an individual and as a group, as a church, is going to grant liberation, you know, in the other areas of life and the other places and communities that you are. Yeah.
Amen.
And truthfully, thinking about this phenomenal podcast and just your hopes and your goals, I think that comes from, right, my experience as a queer individual. I, you know, make a choice to be closeted and to try and squeeze and fit myself into a world in a structure that is only aimed at killing me. You know, I can like sort of name and claim my own belovedness and like be liberated by love from all of that. That hate, that drama.
Yes. Happy Pride. God.
Ooh, happy Pride. Absolutely.
That's become, I mean, I'm going to be saying that like for the rest of the year, regardless of what month it is.
Good. Yes, please. Absolutely.
When my friend Dasha and the rest of my Mystic Soul friends were in Chicago last month, we got off the plane, and as we're walking through the airport in Chicago, we're walking through Midway, and my friend Dasha is just like telling random white strangers, happy Pride.
Pride. Yep. Throw them off.
That is her ministry. So yeah,
Absolutely. And the happy pride button from last time, I'm actively developing that. So
Thank
the
you
patent is
so
moving forward.
much. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
This is very critical work.
So funny.
Oh, God. Are there any other things you would like to plug, or do you want to like have a little last word on?
Definitely. Actually, so this
Actually.
is, yes, ooh, we're always ready to preach. There was something I was thinking about, sort of in relationship to a bit of what you shared when you were with us, but just the nature of this project that you're venturing on here is, I want to explore this deeper, and so maybe you can help me back, or even find someone better. Actually, find someone like who's like really articulate and educated. I'm sure there's some phenomenal queer
Girl,
theologians out there who can do this.
don't even.
Thank you, thank you. But we don't live in a binary, like as queer people, right? Like we reject that as the spiritual forces of wickedness. Like, don't,
Absolutely.
yeah. And I think, like, and I think it's a quote from Broad City, like, as the world becomes more carnal and queer, like the church needs to become more carnal and queer.
Yes.
In that, right, like there's that dividing line between like sacred and secular, between like the church versus the world, the flesh versus the spirit. Like it's all just breaking down, and like I think that's what we see in the way in which like the church universally is just sort of shrinking and falling apart, because these walls that we build are just false walls,
Right.
and that
Yes.
the more that we begin to live into like the queerness of God's spirit and like of Christianity and like the magic and the silliness and the sacredness of like the whole Christian experience, I think the more we're living into who God is and calling us to be, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So yeah, just it's embedded in my like my heart, my soul, and something I really, really want to explore. And sort of just like naming, like all Christians are queer in that, we are at least aren't supposed to, but like are called to live outside of, the traditional structures of this world, and really be this like radical, crazy, loud, exciting force for love.
Countercultural, yeah.
Countercultural, absolutely. I'm just so here for it. Yeah, and like right when you think about sort of the colonial structures that we're dealing with, the white supremacy, like the kids in cages right now,
Yes.
you're not ever going to be able to litigate them out of, being illegal or whatever, because the system set up to call them illegal. The system set
Right.
up to put kids in cages. And so it's going to take folks like us, who live outside of that binary system, who live outside of, the ways in which we're supposed to be, to articulate, and help liberate and change things. So just want to say, oh, be your best queer and caramel self.
Yes.
Ugh,
Can
love
you
it.
put that on a t-shirt?
Oh yes, absolutely.
I need that on a shirt that I can then like cut the sleeves off and, make
So,
into a crop
oh yeah,
top.
absolutely,
I do.
definitely. Right. I see, like all t-shirts should be. Yeah.
Yes.
I love the branding moment all the time. Yeah, put it on t-shirt, the button. We're here. This is a venture.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, I think just to get back to that point, like I feel like part of the reason that there is just so much tension between the church and the queer community is because we live outside of these boundaries and these walls that have been established, and we constantly come up against them, right? Like we're the ones that are saying like, you've been doing this the same way for a good like 1,000 years, 2,000 years, right? Maybe it's time we do something else.
Yep. Absolutely.
And, you know, the church comes back to us saying, like, well, we've always done it this way. And, like, maybe we should just keep doing it this way, even though we're literally killing people.
Absolutely. Right. And I just think like that radical love, like even, like with just the LGBTQIA community that wants nothing to do with the church, but is just out there living their best lives, is chipping away at the like the foundations of those old steeples. Like love just can't help but like butt up against the oppression and the hate that's coming out of, these institutions. It's not even necessarily, I think, our goal all of the time. But it's right. It's just a product of us being who we are and us being freed by God, like liberated by God's spirit, right? Like in a way that the church, I think, is just struggling to be, live into.
Absolutely.
Ooh, what a moment.
Oh, yes. It's Saturday, but it's church.
Listen, absolutely.
When two or three are gathered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, I'm Episcopalian, so, we don't really memorize Bible verses. So, I'll start off by like quoting the first couple words, and then I'm like,
It just breaks down, right? Yeah. It's funny.
Well, my dear, thank you so
Yes.
much for
Oh my
being
gosh.
with me for
Thank
this
you.
beautiful conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm
Thank you for
so
this
happy.
wonderful opportunity. And thank you for this
Yes.
platform you're building. I'm so excited for this. You are literally a social media queen. I am just so in love with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So
I
great.
am in love with you too. So
Oh, thank
it's very
you.
mutual. It's
Ooh.
very mutual.
Awesome.
Do you wanna like, do you wanna plug your social media or connection? Where can
Yes, look up
people find
Connection.
you?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. Don't go on our website yet, but connectionumc.org. It's a work in progress. We're definitely working on branding, but our Facebook is phenomenal. We have some wonderful queens that just help us go live and keep that going. And really, friend me on Facebook if you my favorite thing to do is talk to queers about Christianity. I also talk to straights about Christianity too. That's okay. But
Yes,
right, but outside of that, yes, absolutely. And thank you again for this wonderful opportunity. Very, very
sure.
excited.
We'll have to do it again soon, but ideally when you come to visit in Philly,
Or when you come
because
back to Boston to seek
I mean,
redemption.
that'll be like in a good 6 months or so.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. And
Just
we'll revisit the city and re reshape the narratives. Yeah.
I appreciate you really trying to help me move through this because, it is, it's something that I need to work on.
Yes. It's funny. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Queens, you just heard a conversation between me and my wonderful friend Jordan Harris. And this conversation just brought me so much joy and happiness, and I'm really excited to have shared it with you all. I'm really thankful for Jordan's friendship and, just being able to see his ministry at Connection and in the world is something really beautiful and life-giving. So I want to thank Jordan again for being with us this week. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. That's how we're going to grow this community. Right now, I'm affectionately referring to our listener base as the fruit basket. If you have a better name or if you really like the term fruit basket for fans of the podcast, let me know on social media. I'm always open to feedback. And speaking of social media, you can follow us at FOTS Podcast. That's FOTS Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at Fruits of the Spirit Podcast. We are working on a website, so soon the website will be live. And I will share that with you all once it's ready. A little bit of exciting news for you all. We are now on Spotify, which is really cool and exciting. So if you listen to your podcast on Spotify, you can search for us and follow us on there. We're working on getting ourselves into the Apple Podcast Directory, so hopefully that'll be happening soon, and I will let you all know when that happens. If you'd like to follow me on social media, my name again is Enrique Cintron. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Enrique Cint. That's E-N-R-I-Q-U-E-C-I-N-T. And if you have any feedback on the podcast, if you want to recommend somebody for me to interview, feel free to email me at FOTSPodcast, that's FOTSPodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you so much for listening this week. I was a little bit worried that this episode was not going to make it, only because the program that I was using to record the phone call between Jordan and me, it crashed about halfway into the interview, and I was really worried that the audio file didn't save, and thankfully it did. So this was the episode that almost didn't happen, but thankfully it did. So the spirit does work in mysterious ways. Anyway, thank you so much again for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye. Sorry. I'm still like panicking over this recording. I'm so nervous. if it is, then we'll just have to do this again at another time.
Listen, I'm living my dream right now. Literally, I as often as you'd like. I want to talk to you all the time, but yes. I'm not trying to stop you, you know? I'm trying to be cool here.
Well, we can talk whenever, you know.
Okay, good. I just want you to like me, so, you know.
I just want you to like me, please.
So funny.
Also me at the institutional church sometimes, truly, honestly.
Truly, all the time.